Welcome to the TadCast, gang. We got an action-packed show today, talking about some seriously cool stuff. I got the man, Fenrir, 765, and we're joined by two very special guests tonight. How's it going, Fen?
Oh, it's fantastic, man. It has been it's been two weeks since we last recorded, and some big things have happened. So, I mean, let's just jump into some news here soon, but before we do that, I want to introduce our two guests. First, we are joined for the very first time, Captain Crunch.
Hello, Tag. How are you?
Yes. Awesome, dude. And we'll get back to you in a second, but we're also excited to have, for the second time,
the esteemed.
Oh. Ooh.
He's now the esteemed, right?
He's the esteemed, Hubo. How's that feel? Does that blow smoke up your skirt?
Wait, did I get invited as Ubo or Tony? I can't keep track sometimes.
I got
to make sure I'm in the right personality. Okay, I'm in Jersey again. All right, I'm good to go.
There it is. You guys heard it first on the show.
Oh.
Oh, man. Well, Ubo, thanks for coming back on. I hope things have been treating you well out there in Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah, things have been good. The weather's been really wacky, from cold, snowing, to then warm, almost 50, 60 degree weather, and then back to freezing again, snowing, and my sinuses are just on fire right now.
Oh, I believe it. Absolutely believe it. I mean, we're doing the same thing. 80 degree weather down to, you know, freezing frost weather every morning. It sucks. But, I mean, it's better than being in the desert, I guess.
Whoa. It was 92. It was nice today.
92 sounds awful to me, but I guess it's a dry heat. So,
hey,
as they
when
say,
the summer's 120, 92 is awesome.
I believe it. So, Hop, you like to usually play a game with our new guests, and that since Crunch is here, I'll let you go ahead and do your new guest game with them.
New guest game?
You know, when you like, when we bring people on the show for the first time, you like quiz them about
their...
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Jeez.
My bad. It's not a game. It's 20 questions with Captain Crunch. How are you doing, Captain Crunch?
Oh, I'm good. I guess I'm ready to be grilled here.
Yeah, it's not really grilled. First time we have a new guest, especially like introduce them to the community. Like, what? How did you find Tag? What brought you to Tag? And what keeps you here at Tag?
Oh, all right. Well, I guess I've been a member of Tag for roughly a year. I don't know, one day it came down to just, looking online for, adult, gamers. Careful how you type that in.
Right.
Tag came up, and lo and behold, super easy to kind of connect with everybody through Discord. Everybody's been pretty nice so far, so that's kind of keeping me around, and it's good timing because it's a whole new generation, so hopefully we pick up some more adults on the way.
So what was your first impression of Ubo?
I didn't have much interaction with him, but the only thing I saw on Discord was he was complaining that Game Pass was $1.
It is not $1. God, I can't.
Well, I wasn't even paying attention. I thought you were complaining that it was $1, and you thought that was too much.
Oh,
so maybe you were arguing that it wasn't really $1, which it isn't.
I think Ubo is the first person ever to rage mute.
I just can't even.
So, obviously, it's the fun banter we have that's keeping you here at Tag.
Yeah. So you go in Discord, like, you know, a couple times a week. You see some crazy crap that Ubo posts, and you're like, wow.
All right.
Dip back out.
All right. Now, Ubo, thank you for being
good sport.
Good sport. I appreciate it. That took a turn.
This is why I have a drinking problem, okay?
I mean, speaking of being good sports, Finn, what is this story about a game we've all wanted to see return? Rumors flowing for years. We finally got an announcement. It was leaked like 6 months or more ago, but we finally got a legit announcement for a game that you and I and a couple other tag members, including Mr. Sithy, hold very near and dear. Finally getting... Now, it's not quite a remaster. It's like a pseudo-upscale or with some changes. Give us some details.
Yeah, I mean, so what you're talking about was on November 7th, which is known in the gaming community as N7 Day because it November 7th. And N7 Day comes from BioWare, which alludes to the N7 ranking for the military in the Mass Effect series. And it's... Mass Effect series is one of my all-time favorite RPGs, so especially the first three. But Andromeda has a very special place in my heart, and we talked about it a couple shows ago. But anyways, the original trilogy that follows Commander Shepard is getting a upscaled, remastered-ish kind of version called Mass Effect Legendary Edition. So you'll get the first, second, third game. They're just being kind of polished and cleaned up, so they run on the newer consoles, including the Series X and PlayStation.
I mean, 2 and 3 just need some prettier textures, and they're good to go. The first game, I hope they actually do some work on, though.
So far, they've just said that they're honoring the original vision of the game. They're just making it prettier for the most part. I'm assuming frame rates and things like that will be fixed, because there are some really bad frame rate issues in all the games technically, but the first game, especially the last like mission or two, it was awful. But the cool thing is you get all DLC, all promotional DLC and items and weapons and cosmetics included in the game. Mass Effect 3 has probably, I think it's 3, maybe it's 2, has one of my favorite weapons, the Chakram Launcher, which was a cross DLC type thing from Kingdoms of Amular, which is kind of cool. But it's going to be awesome. There is some, going to be some PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series consoles, effects or, you know, enhancements. Cool. Yes, but they haven't really detailed that. The other thing I'll say is on that blog post that announced the Legendary Edition, BioWare, Casey Hudson, who's the director of BioWare, he said that they are working on the next Mass Effect game. And then recently some concept art was released, and the concept art seems to be detailing a new ship and new kind of things. There's kind of some rumors around the concept art that it may take place in the Andromeda universe, so they may be continuing down that storyline a little bit. We'll see. But that will be a ways away because BioWare is very busy with Anthem and Dragon Age, whatever Dragon Age they're doing right now. So I'm excited. Ubo, Crunch, how are you guys feeling about Mass Effect?
I don't know what Mass Effect is. I've never played it. I'm actually looking forward to having it on the new gen systems. You know, faster load times, a little better graphics, you know, here and there. So, yeah, win-win for me.
If he doesn't have to sit on, like, 85 10-minute elevator rides, then what the fuck's the point?
I will say, though, I am jealous because Mass Effect is one of those games that I wish I could play again for the first time. Like, especially the first and second game, because those are just...
The story was good. The first one, the game mechanics drove me crazy. I got stuck and used a FAQ because I just wanted to get through the game and get to 2. Because what had happened was I started with Mass Effect, or I was going to start with Mass Effect 2. My buddy Captain Crap Maximus is like, "Whoa, no." He's another guy in the Maximus guy. He's like, no. He's like, check your mailbox in 3 days. I open my mailbox and there's a copy of Mass Effect 1. And he's like, you have to play this first. I was like, okay. So I muffled through the first one and then I jumped right into 2. And I loved 2. And as soon as I beat 2, I went and got 3. Or whenever it came out, you know. I didn't hate 1. It was just so clunky.
Yeah, if you would have probably played it when it first came out, you would have been as frustrated by it probably originally because two,
yeah, maybe.
You went straight to two and two played so much better,
right? Smoother,
had smooth,
easier.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you a Mass Effect fan, Ubo?
I'm like Captain Crunch. I never actually got to play through it. I bought the trilogy on 360 and I started it, and then my house got broken into and they stole my 360.
Lame.
So then
that's
I had about
bastards.
That's what happens when you live in Trenton, New Jersey, man.
Yeah. I had about five to 10 hours into it, and I didn't have the heart to restart.
No, understandable.
So, but I did play Mass Effect 3, the Horde mode for one of our Tag Olympics.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. I remember that one. Yeah.
And that was just a clusterfuck because I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Yeah, I think Sith and I dominated on that one.
I got a participation prize. I think I got third just because I posted a score. That's it.
There you go. Nothing like a good participation trophy. I mean, can't go wrong with that. I mean,
hey, it was clutch in those Tag Olympics. I mean, every medal was points, so.
Well, clutch. What they say is if you ain't first, you're last. So there's
that
too.
Was that from Top Gun?
Talladega Nights.
Oh, sorry. No. I thought it was a Tom Cruise movie.
No, it's a Will Ferrell.
That's great.
Oh.
Where a NASCAR movie. You know, Tom Cruise did. Wasn't
a
NASCAR
movie.
Are you
sure you're from New Jersey? It doesn't sound like you're from New Jersey.
Listen, if you want to start talking about those things, I want to talk to Milkman X and the Witness Protection Program, okay?
Oh, man.
All right.
Crunch, what's going on with Bethesda, man? What can you tell us?
So some more news today from the Megaton Xbox and ZeniMax Media acquisition. Although let's just say it's still pending, so it's nothing final. But we're still getting reverberations out of that. And I guess over the weekend we had Xbox CFO Tim Stewart spoke at a Interactive Entertainment virtual conference and. Basically, you know, backtracking, you know, dangling a little carrot out there still, I think, you know, by saying, oh, we're not necessarily going to, you know, keep all these games on the Xbox ecosystem. We might want something, you know, where they play first, better, or best on the Xboxes and maybe, you know, go to other platforms like PlayStation, PC. They're going to be on PC, but I guess PlayStation's the main question at this point. In my opinion, it's no real news because, again, until the deal is finalized, I don't think any of these people speaking on the matter can legally say one way or the other what it's going to be. I personally, you know, with a $7.5 billion acquisition, I would hope these games stick to the Xbox ecosystem. But I guess, you know, time will tell.
Yeah. I mean, Ubo, how do you feel about first, better, or best with Xbox and Bethesda?
I don't know. I'm of the opinion that I think from a business standpoint, it would make more sense for Microsoft to keep those big Bethesda titles multi-platform. I mean, it looks already so good if you can issue a Fallout 6 or new Elder Scrolls day one on Game Pass for no additional cost to Game Pass subscribers. And then turn around and go, hey, PS5, yeah, you can have it for $80. Like, and I mean, there's a large international Sony audience that would gladly pay that. Like, it doesn't make sense for Microsoft to kind of shoot themselves in the foot there. Now, new games like Starfield?
Yes.
Starfield being a day one Game Pass only Xbox exclusive, that's more interesting. I think that's where there's more value in Bethesda and the new parties, the new first party franchises. Just because, again, you know, first time or new IPs, they're hit and miss, right? And even if they do hit something big, nothing stops Microsoft from then 6 months to a year later releasing it on other platforms. So I think personally, or I mean, obviously, I have Game Pass on PC, Xbox One. I don't think I'm going to get a Series X with the PC Game Pass. If those games like Fallout 6 or Elder Scrolls 6 comes to PC Game Pass, I mean, Microsoft doesn't need to sell a console then, right? So
it's all about the ecosystem, baby. All exactly. About the ecosystem.
They're already getting my $15 a month. Not $1, $15.
You die on that hill, sir. You die on that hill.
There's no dying. No dying. Okay. I came in late, is all.
That's true. Hey, you know, speaking of new things, you've got your hands on the new DualSense, and you'll talk more about that later, I'm sure, but what's going on with that and maybe branching out beyond the PlayStation ecosystem itself?
And I was muted, so sorry about that. So interesting article here about how Steam is currently working on introducing the PS5 DualSense controller bringing it to Steam, which is obviously, super nice for PS5 owners who now have a new controller. That I've been playing with it for a bit now, and the PS5 controller does feel much sturdier in my hands compared to a PS4 controller. We'll get into it later. A lot of the functionality obviously isn't going to be in Steam client-based games. The haptic feedback's not going to be there. So really, it's just another controller. It's just, you know, a bigger, nicer Sony controller at that point.
Was the DualShock 4 on Steam?
It had support. You can easily just plug in your controller into your desktop and start using it. I actually found that the Xbox One controller felt nicer for playing PC games such as Jedi Fallen Order. As soon as I launched that, it actually gave me a prompt saying, hey, this game is actually much better on controller. Play with the controller if you can.
Oh, wow.
So I did that, and I actually, I used the Xbox One because it felt more comfortable.
Cool. All right. Well, Hop, one of your favorite actors is getting some much-needed love in the video game world.
He has lots of love, but Keanu Reeves himself is now canon in the Cyberpunk 2077 universe. Not just the character that he plays, that character is canon, but now Keanu Reeves, the actor himself, is canon in Cyberpunk 2077. There's a lyric in a Run the Jewels song that's created for Cyberpunk 2077 called No Save Point. He's talking about in it the song Killer Mike raps, that's righteous, huh? Slapping palm, holding a pump, Keanu Reeves, cyber arm under my sleeve. And it says, given that Run the Jewels is appearing as an in-universe group yanking the brave, the reference has to be in tune with the game's lore. So how can Keanu Reeves exist in the same timeline? It says it's an in-universe cultural reference to Keanu Reeves, a little-known collapse-era actor who bore an uncanny resemblance to Johnny Silverhand. So that's just a fun tongue-in-cheek thing. And, I think we're all, well, not all, but a lot of us are looking forward to the game. I have a vested interest in that genre, so I'm looking forward to checking the game out. So hopefully in December when it finally comes out, it's going to be fun. But it's fun that they're leaking some stuff out about that and trying to keep people interested. There's a lot of people angry and wanting refunds and threatening to attack Project Red. And it's like, calm down, people. We've been dealing with a worldwide pandemic for a year and all. Well, not quite a year, but close to a year. The first cases were reported in China last December. But these developers have been going through hell worldwide. There's another game I'll talk about later when we get into the console thing, and you know what those guys pulled off was a sheer miracle. But anyway,
if you're playing along at home, this is the part where you take a drink, because Hop mentioned the pandemic.
What? Is this a new game I'm not aware of?
Oh, I always thought it was what we did.
Oh, whoever, okay.
You know, mentioned it takes a drink.
Okay. Oh, whoever mentioned it. Okay.
I've been drinking the whole time, full disclosure.
All right. I'm not drinking alone tonight.
You know, if you still need to pre-order your copy of Cyberpunk 2077, or maybe a Sony DualSense controller, or maybe you're looking for some accessories for your new Xbox, you can jump onto our Discord channel at theadultgamer.com and find the item you want on Amazon, drop that link into our Discord, and bam, it's going to spit out an affiliate link. That affiliate link is going to send a little kickback over here to Tag to help us run the show, promote the website, and get new content to you guys. So if you do us a favor and get your Amazon links, drop them in the Discord, get that affiliate link, purchase there, couple ducats, help the Tag site out, helps the community out, helps us do more fun projects and giveaways.
And we have Black Friday coming up, so that's a perfect time to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And go put in, drop in a copy of Point Break while you're at it. Get a little Keanu fix in before Cyberpunk comes.
And the John Wick trilogy. I highly recommend that.
Yes. I'm waiting for the quadrilogy. Right. So I'm excited for that. Anyways, we could go on all day talking about our favorite Keanu movies.
Whoa. Are you guys talking about Keanu Reeves movies? Whoa.
Ubo, chill out before I find a replacement for you.
Wow. I'll be good. I'm already there. I'm stoned. I'm good.
Well, let's get into, what we're here for, gaming, right?
Yes.
Crunch.
Yes.
Lay it on us, man. What have you been playing lately? What have you been enjoying?
Well, as we know, the Series X launched with a big lack of exclusives. So, I purchased the first, I guess, what we could consider one of the next-gen games on the Series X in Black Ops Cold War. Look, anybody that's played it knows what it is. It's Call of Duty. And it's good. I like the graphics. It's fun. I don't know if it's the Series X or what, but the audio in the game is ridiculous.
It's the new consoles. They have way, way better audio hardware and digital analog converters in them, DACs.
Yeah, so I gotta say, for next gen, the audio alone has been incredible. I mean, it's literally like faked me out. I sit in my game room. There's no other noise. I have to take my headphones off sometimes when I throw down the trophy system because it sounds so real. I'm like, what is out? What is here in my room that's making that noise? It is wild.
Are you using the Atmos?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really awesome on the Series X. Yeah.
So yes. So that's Call of Duty so far impresses with the audio. Next gen, the multiplayer is pretty much what you expect. Zombie mode is actually surprisingly fun.
Super fun. That was a lot of fun playing that with you.
So I look forward to like diving into that and hopefully, finishing that at some point, whatever the end of that might be. But in terms of other games, look, we got the crown jewel of next gen here in Xbox Game Pass.
It's only a buck.
Exactly.
I will leave this podcast right now.
It is super cheap and affordable. Cost of a cup of coffee a month, two cups maybe. But let's talk about the games I've been playing on that. Slay the Spire. That's a cool card deck building game. And it treats it like a roguelike. So you'll die and start over. It's never quite the same. I've pumped hours into that. It's just addicting. It's just one of those games that you sit down and, look up 2 hours later. I would like to mention on that game, it's if you have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and you have access to the X Cloud, You can actually play that game straight from your phone or tablet without needing a controller. They built in controls onto your tablet or phone, so that's kind of cool. Another one is Scourgebringer. That's another like a 2D roguelike. Been playing that recently. Again, if you're into roguelikes, I suggest checking it out. It's very fun. And one of the most recent games I've actually fully completed, I think I got 1,000 gamer score on it because I liked it so much, was Journey to the Savage Planet. Have any of you guys played that?
I have not.
No, Hybrid's talked a lot about it.
Yeah, it's just a first person game. From what I remember, the premise, you kind of crash land and you got to go collect things to fly off the planet, get back home. But it's kind of zany. They got like video clips of things, of products, and like a president that you're talking to and interacting with. But cool kind of 3D platformer, very colorful, but fun game. Yeah, it's just one of those that you can kind of just sit down and rip through. It's not really stressful, but I had a lot of fun like trying to, you know, get from peak to peak trying to obtain all the, you know, all the items in the game. And then I'll move on to my last one I've been playing is Gears Tactics that, you know, launched, I think November 10th on the console. I think it was on PC originally. But for anybody into like turn-based strategy games, it's very cool. It's very much in like the vein of Gears. I mean, it's not just shooting. You have a lot of execution styles and abilities to run up and you know, lance, you know, the enemy and stuff. So that's kind of been interesting to kind of play a game that I guess encourages like up close battles. But yeah, so far I've been about an hour or so into it. The story is actually interesting, so that's one of the rare things in games for me now. Like a story that will hold my interest. So yeah, looking forward to kind of playing through more of that. And that's it. I think that's all my games I've been playing recently.
All right, Ubo, what have you been jamming to?
Well, this week, or last week, I should say, was the end of the last, the year that was Destiny Shadowkeep. So I'd been playing a little bit of that, just preparing for the new season, the new year, which just dropped on Tuesday. So Destiny Beyond Light had just dropped. And first impressions, the story in it is a big jump, especially in comparison to Shadowkeep story, which was probably just more like a precursor. There's a lot of fun story stuff in this new expansion, talking about the stranger from D1 who they said they would never bring back. They brought back.
What?
They actually brought back the Cosmodrome straight out of D1 into D2. They introduced a new planet with Europa. At the same time, they also introduced what they call the Destiny Content Vault, and they took away 4 planets as well as a bunch of raids. And introduced a new dark based subclass, which is all based on pretty much based on ice. So it's been a lot of fun exploring this new fleshed out world. The PvP has been from everything I've heard, I haven't played, but just been a nightmare for all the sweaty players because now all these new powers actually. Like someone could just throw a grenade and freeze you right out of your super, and it just is making PvP players just rage like crazy to the point where they canceled trials for this weekend. They're also considering delaying at one point the new raid coming out this Saturday because some of the hardcore streamers were testing out the new subclasses in some of the old raids, and they found that there's a bug. that will one-shot a lot of the bosses in Last Wish, including the end boss. So it's kind of like not even in a damage phase, start spamming a freeze and a warlock area effect super. And the boss would just melt. So there's a lot of issues, questions about, you know, Bungie having issues getting stuff through QA. But otherwise, I mean, the PvE stuff has been a ton of fun. Before Beyond Light, I've been playing a ton of Borderlands 3. I finally got into it. I tried Borderlands 1 and on 360. Again, it got stolen. I never went back to it. I tried playing Borderlands 2 on PC. It literally made me throw up after 2 hours of play.
That's what you said, it made you motion sick.
It made me motion sick. I don't know if it was the combination of...
FOV. I don't think you could expand the FOV on that one.
Yeah, I think it was before they released the expansion or the update to it, the HD update and the HD pack for it. So then I thought... You know, I'm going to buy Borderlands 3 on sale, and for the love of God, I'm going to finish one of these goddamn games. And I had a blast of a time. I did feel it was really slow in the beginning, going from Destiny to Borderlands. But then when you get into those late stages and you have kind of builds you can play and weapons, the thing is just kind of bonkers. And I really wished... something like Slaughterhouse 3000. I wish that was something I could play in Destiny, but even then, it wouldn't be as much fun as it is in Borderlands, where there's just explosions everywhere.
It's just
everywhere.
Freaking nuts.
It's just bonkers.
Sith was watching a stream and he's like, "Oh, this looks like first-person Diablo on Torment 10." I was like, "That's exactly what this is."
It's so much crap on the ground. The first time I played it was just like, there's so much loot on the ground, I didn't know what to do, and most of it is garbage, obviously, but didn't know what to do with it. I wish I had known, even though I'm not going to tell her in Discord, but if Tamzilla is listening, you know, I wish I'd listened to her and actually re-rolled when I was playing through the DLC, the Mayhem level, because I was doing it on Mayhem 2 with the Floors of Lava.
Oh no, God. Yeah, that's not
And fun. I didn't realize that I could just re-roll that because Floor's Lava got me killed in one of the boss fights where I had to run off to a separate island to kind of knock out a crystal, and I couldn't stand long enough to shoot the crystal without catching on fire. So I will not admit to Tammy that I didn't listen to her in Discord, but, you know, it's here on the podcast, so Tammy, you know, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Tell us, I don't want to rush you, but I see here a new game you've been playing on your PS5.
Yeah, so then I was conflicted when I got my PS5 because I was supposed to be grinding for Destiny, and it's like, no, this grind never ends, and I got to play with my new toys. So I dove into Miles Morales, and I spent the better part of the weekend just playing Spider-Man Miles Morales, and that game is absolutely phenomenal. They did a lot of the little things right in it was obviously the same game engine as Spider-Man 2018, but the nuances between characters, for example, in the original Spider-Man, obviously he's been Spider-Man for years. The web swinging in it is phenomenal, but you can tell he's an accomplished web swinger. Miles is just less than a year into it, and he's web swinging through the city, and he's just flailing all over the place like a kid just riding on a swing for the very first time. And it has so much of that life into it, like a very young, like he's a 17-year-old Miles just learning to become Spider-Man and discovering he has new powers that kind of feel overpowered initially. But you run into a lot of difficult enemies, and he runs right away into his first, like, Spider-Man moral dilemmas, the kind of things that make Spider-Man, like, relatable characters. They get a lot of the details done really well. The city's the same, but they really nail the Christmas vibe, the Harlem vibe, from what I've heard, obviously. I You know, I've only been to Harlem a couple times, and just they really play into him being that neighborhood Spider-Man. Like, it's very grounded as a storyline, and it's not a long story. It's about 6 hours long if you just do the mainline, the story. About 10 hours if you do all the side stuff, and probably closer to 15 if you are a completionist and want to do every single little trophy in it. But it was just a ton of fun to play through. And I don't want to get a ton into the other game I just played recently, was Astro's Playroom, which was a game that comes stock on all PS5s. And it's really just a DualSense demo, really illustrating a ton of what the controller can do in terms of feedback and the sound in the game as well, what the PS5 can pump out. The game itself is quite a fun platformer. There's a lot of fun stuff in there, but it's just very basic, and again, really illustrating the haptic feedback on that DualSense controller.
Awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
Hop, what are you jamming with?
Let's see. Well, Borderlands 3, because the day that the Series X launched, November 10th, was also the same day that the new Borderlands 3 Season Pass 2 dropped with the Director's Cut DLC that includes the new... I wouldn't say it's like a battle royale. It's kind of like a roguelite meets a battle royale. We're not battling other teams, but you and your three other players, you're dropped into sort of a battle royale map where you start with no equipment. So no skills, no shields, no guns, no nothing. And you've got to find whatever you can and make your way to the boss before the what they call the murder cane. Which is hilarious. It's kind of like set up like a game show, and it's hosted by Axton and Salvador from Borderlands 2. And there's exclusive gear that you can get in that mode, and it's really nice on the Series X. You get the full upgrade 4K 60 high-res textures. It looks like night and day different, and I'm talking going from the 1X to the Series X is like night and day different. And so I can only imagine people going from the original Xbox One to the Series X are probably like, what the beep, because it looks so good now. Play a little bit of Forza Horizon 4 because it's got its 4K 60 update. It's nice. It runs super smooth. It's not without some issues. I didn't notice it too much, but Digital Foundry tore it apart and found some things that were in the quality mode from the 1X that are missing on the Series X port, and I'm sure they're going to patch that in. And then, of course, the game I had been waiting since, when did they announce it? August to play, and that's the Black Ops Cold War. You can blame Fireman. Fireman, I'm blaming you again. He got me back into Call of Duty after many years, starting with Black Ops 4 because of Blackout, and then... Again, Fireman's like, oh man, Modern Warfare is going to be awesome. So I got Modern Warfare last year, and I had a good time with Modern Warfare, but I'm having way more fun with Black Ops Cold War. I think the Treyarch Call of Duty games are more my flavor. I like the run and gun aspect they have more instead of the semi-campy realistic aspect that the Infinity Ward games have. The campaign was amazing. I beat the campaign. No spoilers, but it was awesome. It was a worthy mirrored sequel to Black Ops 1. That's all I'll say. It's an exact mirror of Black Ops 1 story-wise. And it looks absolutely amazing, and zombies and multiplayer are a lot of fun, but we'll get into that a little bit more, I think, when we get into the consoles. What have you been playing, Finn?
I've been dicking around with Black Ops Cold War a little bit. I've had some issues with it. Single player's been fun so far, but I've had some issues with multiplayer, which have kind of hindered my experience. Some crashing, some other random
I turned
weird
off the
bugs.
Ray tracing, and that seemed to stop the crashing.
So yeah, I'll have to try that. But it's been really frustrating with that. And then Borderlands 3 Arms Race, which has been a lot of fun. It was hard at first, but because
once we got down the me and Kicked actually have extracted a ton of crap out of there once we kind of figured out the.
I think
flow.
The biggest problem with Borderlands 3 in that game mode is you're so used to being stupid powerful.
Super powerful? Yeah, you gotta lay back and arm chase because you're like, you got nothing.
Yeah, and you don't have your abilities, which you can rely on for things, which really sucks. But it's fun. It's enjoyable. It's a cool, different experience. And then I've been toying around with Destiny 2 with Ubo. Thank you for sherping us through some vault or raids recently. It's been some fun. Also with Ghost, Scotty, Obi, Pickle, Scribe. So it's been a lot of fun with these guys. A lot of good laughs. There is such a thing as a submachine gun barrier mod that you can equip on your armor, Ghost, just in case you didn't know.
Oh my god. Temples.
And we also learned that Scotty can handle second and third base pretty well. So take what you want from that, and we will keep moving on. I have, though, played a little bit of Ori and the Will of the Wisp again, just to see how it runs on the Series X. And it looks absolutely beautiful. I loaded up Anthem for a little bit, played with Hybrid since it's on EA Play through Game Pass. And the load times in that game have been like cut in half, even through an external hard drive, which is awesome. And Gears 5, just to see the gorgeousness of that game. And it is even more beautiful. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of these things in a moment, but we still have some things going on in the community, Hop. Why don't you tell us what's happening Thursdays and Fridays?
Thursdays is our community game night where we like to play a game. Most of them are on Game Pass, but every once in a while it's just a game that's big that everybody likes to play. There's a lot of cross-play happening with newer games, which is awesome, but not everything. This Thursday, November 19th, we've got Titanfall 2. That is a tag favorite. If you're on Xbox, it is now part of this month on EA Play, so install it now. Join us for some multiplayer. It is a ton of fun. November 26th, Sea of Thieves. Run around, get drunk like pirates, have a good time. And then, just in case we don't get to a show before the December 3rd game night, it's going to be Halo MCC, which just got its Series X patch today. And I want to mention that that Series X patch can run from an external drive that gives you 4K 120 frames on Halo 1, 2, 3, ODST, and Reach. Get it while it's hot. And Halo 4. All those. With 4K 120, and they can run from an external drive. And Friday nights, I started a group called Fight Club. We've mostly been playing a lot of Virtua Fighter FS, Virtua Fighter 5 FS, some Killer Instinct, and now with MK11 getting its Series X patch and the new Ultimate Edition of MK11 coming out, I'm going to see if we can get a bunch of us playing that, because it's kind of a good time, a lot of fun. You guys still doing Among Us? Fan, did that trickle out?
Trickled out a little bit, but if you want to get an Among Us going, just come into our Discord and add yourself to the role and add it any chance you get. And I'm sure you can find a couple people that will see if you are the imposter or not. Also, we have a book club. Join us and add yourself the book club role, and you can read some old-fashioned books and talk about it with other people. So that does it for our community updates, and now it's time to get into why we're all here this episode, and that is the consoles. The actual hardware is in our homes. We have all been waiting for this for months now, really even longer. I've been waiting for this console for a couple years, and I'm excited to finally have it. The Xbox Series X and Series S have released. The PlayStation 5 has released. And there's a lot of good, and there's some frustrating and bad things and things that we're not too thrilled about that hopefully get fixed as time goes on. But I'm just going to let you guys go over it, Ubo and Crunch.
Crunch, lead us off on your impressions of your Series X, and what are your thoughts so far? What has it done?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, I'm hyped for this next gen just by seeing the few games that I've played so far. I mean, and some of these were, you know, what they called optimized games. But you know, I think the big thing here is the 60 frames per second. Man, I launched up Apex the other day, another popular Battle Royale game, And that was a night and day difference from the 1X to the Series X. And I don't think they've optimized that in any way. But the frames were fluid. But let's get back to the box itself. I mean, if you appreciate it from the top down, like, these are the things I'll mention. I got the box on Tuesday, came from Amazon, you know, opened it up. You know, I felt like I could punt the box down the street. It was so well packaged. I mean, once you open the box, all the foam and everything, it looks, you know, I appreciate that. You spend a lot of money, open the box, it looks like a premium product. You know, it was awesome. And a few things on it. I don't know if any of you guys noticed it, but, you know, the tape around the box, it actually had an easy peel to it.
I did not.
I went straight to a razor, dude.
Yeah, well, of course, we're all used to that, but they did have easy peel tape. I did too. I went to cut, but they all had easy peel. All the ports in the back have bumps on it. So people with eyesight issues or any other disabilities can utilize that to help. You know, so I mean, geez, you could open the Xbox. You know, the box itself probably by your mouth if you had to with the easy peel tabs. I mean, that's pretty incredible, and I applaud Xbox for, you know, they've had the Xbox adaptive controller out for a while now, and everything else they're doing for accessibility I think is important, and it's a good thing for gamers, for everybody to be able to play. So that was cool. Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've all seen pictures of the Xbox. I mean, it sits here in my game room. I love the look of it. I don't have a big problem that it's a monster black, you know, tower.
Thank you for finishing that.
But, yeah, I was trying to come up with a word, and I got lost for a second. I was like, what? Where am I going?
Maybe he was thinking of something.
But, I mean, and look, if you've already had an Xbox and you go to this one, setup was super easy, even to get my profile onto this. Yeah, and, you know, it's comfortable. It's what I've known, the same user interface, real snappy. I mean, I think a few of us playing Call of Duty have had crashes where it's either it turned off our system completely or shut the game down. But, you know, the good thing about that is it's so super fast that having to reset your game when you're having party problems, which is, you know, the developer's issue on that, but you know, to be able to quit your game and, like, load it up in, I don't know what, 10 seconds is pretty cool.
Yeah, the from a cold boot, it's, I think it's less than 10. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, those are my kind of first impressions. I mean, I love it. I'm a big fan. I can't wait to see what games, even on both platforms, what they're going to look like and do a year down the road even.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you're having a pretty favorable impression of the system so far. Ubo, tell us about the PS5. Where are you at? I mean, you've had a journey. It first started with an interesting delivery of your Miles Morales, Spider-Man, and PlayStation 5.
Sure. I was probably stalking the postman and probably getting a restraining order prepped against me. Just refreshing it, the delivery status on Best Buy every minute kind of killed my work days on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But yeah, mine came in on Friday afternoon. You know, it is what it is with delivery issues going on everywhere. I'm not going to stress about when I got it. But so far, and I think I posted some pictures to kind of trigger my alter ego Tony there, stacking my PS5 on top of the PS4. The thing is a big boy. Like, it's at least maybe 3 to 4 inches taller than the PS4 was. First impressions when I turned it on and put in the Miles Morales CD because I did get the disc version. That thing was loud. That drive is loud, and I don't know if it's because of the drive or the stand when you put it sideways is kind of it's kind of tippy still because my cat walked on it and the whole thing kind of still tipped downwards. So I'm not sure if it's a stand issue or not. But so far, just playing through Miles Morales, playing through Astro's Playroom, I did happen to get the PS5 Sony branded, is it 3D Pulse headset as well? Okay. And that is, like, together with the controller and everything, the PS5 is just the most incredible sound I've ever experienced in a game. The first thing you do when you load up the Spider-Man game is there's Miles, young teen, walking through the streets listening to music, and the thing is blaring, and the music is so crystal clear, and just
yeah, the audio. New sound cards in these new consoles are amazing.
And it was kind of driving me crazy at times because, I'll be walking through the streets or swinging through the streets and you hear cries and random back ambient noise. And I'm looking back in my house to see if one of my kids is crying upstairs or something because I couldn't distinguish between it all. Like, the sound is just phenomenal. The controller, the haptic feedback, I think I kind of talked about it, but the rumbles in this new controller, from my understanding, is dramatically different from the old systems where it used to be like weights and they would spin the weights in it to make different vibrations. From my understanding, this is almost like little pumps inside the controller that pulse at different rates and give off different sensations. So, for example, I tried out Astro's Playroom because I was just curious to see. And the first thing it does is it tells you to like start playing with the triggers, your R2, your L2, just to get a feel for it. And the triggers on the controller, the rumble on the joystick, everything feels so different. The rumble, as I'm, like, for example, you're the little character, Astro Boy, or whatever his name is. He's walking on glass. The controller is giving you hollow glass-like pings through the controller. Wow. When you start walking on metal, it starts, you get a different vibration. You start walking on wood, it's more of a dull clunk. The R2 or L2, the triggers, there's actual resistance in that. So the first thing you do in Astro Boy, it tells you to like pull on the triggers, and then you gently pull, and it feels hard, and then you got to give it more force to actually get it to boost its rockets much more. Like, it's dramatically much more sensitivity in those triggers, and it actually kind of pushes back as well. One minor complaint I do have for that trigger, so I was probably binging Spider-Man on Saturday, my hand started getting a blister from how hard the R2 button is to pull all the time for long game sessions, because you're getting much more resistance on those triggers. So it's weird, it's just, you know, something I'm not used to. Again, back to Astro's Playroom. I think I sent Fenn a video I took earlier. The controller, the way they've set it up, includes like motion sensitivity in the controller. So I sent Fenn a video of me climbing in a monkey suit. So I had to climb into this monkey suit, zip it up using the touchpad to actually do the zipper. And then using R2, L2, I had to climb up a rock climbing wall, but I had to tilt the controller to either the left or to the right to get my arms to move up and down so I could climb up this wall or down this wall. And it was kind of wild feedback to get that all just from the controller. The load times, I'm sure you guys have experienced it. I think it's actually faster for those third-party games on Xbox, but the load times are so much faster on these new consoles. I even tried Titanfall just earlier to see how fast I can get into the game and playing, And it was within 15 seconds I was doing the cinematic and starting a new game. Like, it was so fast. Spider-Man itself, the Miles Morales game, I tried fast travel. And in the first game, fast travel, they actually had a loading screen that would show a hilarious screenshot of there's Peter Parker, Spider-Man, in whatever outfit you're in, listening to music, standing in a subway train in New York. And that would be your load screen. It would be about 15 to 20 seconds long. And in this, it's just like fast travel, the screen goes to black, the screen fades back in, and you're coming out of the subway and you're playing again with all within 2 to 3 seconds. Like, it's just bonkers. The days of me checking Twitter and load screens is over. Like, I can't even pick up my phone in that time. Like, it's bonkers. Demon's Souls Remastered has just come out, and I'm really tempted to try it. But I'm afraid that, you know, my controller smashing ways and my brand new shiny controller. So I don't want to go down that route. But I have heard that the feedback on that game through the controller actually gives you sensations of when you're clanging, crashing metal against metal, for example. It sounds wild. And I think... you know, Sony's going to really differentiate themselves with those first-party games if they can take advantage of the nuances in the controllers. Because otherwise, I mean, the controller is not going to be much different between what you're experiencing on Call of Duty and what I'm experiencing on Call of Duty or Titanfall or whatever, for example, right? Games like Spider-Man, God of War, Demon's Souls, Astro's Playroom. You know, those first-party games has got where Sony really has to sell that system and sell that controller and everything they've decided to do with this new console. But so far, I've been pretty happy. Couple weird hang-ups, though. Apparently, Spider-Man, the remastered version for PS5, if you leave it in rest mode, it's been notorious for bricking your PS5 on Reddit. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Some weird bugs where I started Miles Morales and then I swapped over accidentally to Battleborn because of the weird card tile UI system they now have. When I went back to load up Spider-Man, it didn't recognize I had a disc. It wanted me to rebuy the whole game, and I had to actually reboot my system to get it to recognize the disc again. It was really weird. And then in late game in Spider-Man, I started noticing some frame stuttering, and I'm not sure what exactly was going on. But I mean, obviously, day one consoles are not perfect. The other thing that is driving me crazy, the new PlayStation UI, the new card system, the way everything is kind of in big giant tiles, it's a big difference from the old banner system that was on the PS4. And it's kind of hard to navigate at first. Like, things are kind of buried and hidden, and then it took me a while to figure out how to even put the console in rest mode, because sometimes it's just like tap, you know, the PlayStation button to bring up the banner, or do I have to hold it? And it took me a while to figure out exactly which one to do.
That's cool. Yeah, because it got a whole new OS, whereas us on Xbox, they just updated the Xbox guide a couple weeks ago. So if your Xbox One S or One X was current, it was a seamless transition to the Series X. And literally when you sign into the Series X, it remembered, it's like, oh, do you want to keep all your settings from your One X or whatever console your account was linked to? Bam, it makes it. I got my Boba Fett wallpaper, everything I had, all like, oh, it's like I never left. Now I just have this really fast machine that runs everything better. I just wanted to real quickly throw out some games that I did a bunch of tests on various older games just to see how much better they look. And because of the added texture filtering, the cleaner output from the GPU and the video card, there's certain games on the One X that looked great, but they look even better on the Series X on the same TV, because I literally tested all these games the day before. Black Ops 4, you got cleaner screen space reflections, and it actually runs at true 4K, whereas on the One X it was on a scaled 4K, so that was nice at 60. Call of Duty Warzone looked amazing on the Series X, and it looks I was blown away by how much better it looked. Tested some 2D games like Sonic Mania. It ran. There was really no difference, but it just the fact that it just ran smooth and there was no issues was great. Doom 2016 ran like butter. One that really surprised me, because it was always a really good-looking game, and this is just a testament to this engine, but Star Wars Battlefront 2 somehow almost looked like a new game on the Series X. That engine is amazing, and it's really scalable, because on the Series X, it was wow. And everything boots super clean, and it's super fast. Even games that you're running, most of these games I was running off of my just external drives and not the internal. The internal drive I'm saving for games that require internal drive, like Borderlands, Black Ops. But even these external games booted faster than the 1X, and I think it's just because the pure raw CPU horsepower to decompress the files. What about you, Fen? You got any Series X aha moments before we roll out of here today?
I mean, I just gotta say I don't know where we'll go in terms of graphics, 4K, 8K, 120, 60, whatever. I don't know where we're going with that yet. That's to be determined as time goes on. But if we can maintain this loading time issue that has been just resolved with these solid-state drives and the Xbox and the PlayStation, I'm going to be a happy boy. I'm not going to lie. Like, not having to wait for very long for things to go from a cold start to into gameplay is awesome. And then once you're in there, like Ubo said, the fast travel and all those things just kind of being minimized to next to nothing is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I guess it broke the fast travel in Witcher 3. Like, it's so fast it skips the screen entirely and you just teleport.
I was listening to people talk about, like, AC Valhalla and, like, the fast travel and that. Like, it blinks and it's where you need to be. But they still have the loading screen because it's a cross-gen game. So the loading screen, like, flashes for not even a full second. So you can't even, you can't even read the tip and tool that they're trying to tell you about. So, yeah, I mean, it's wild. And that, to me, is the next-gen feeling that I've been missing. You know, I still playing on a 1080p set. Everything looks gorgeous. I'm not going to lie. It doesn't look probably as good as it would in 4K HDR at 60 frames a second. But everything's running flawlessly smooth. Everything looks well. But the loading times just make it awesome. Like, now I'm not the person that's holding people back in Destiny when we're trying to load into a mission or something.
I'm in the party, okay? I'm in the old Gen console on a Wi-Fi, okay? Throw me a bone.
But I used to be that guy, Ubo, so I know you're feeling, but I don't feel that way anymore. But now that's where I'm at. Like, I'm excited about where we are in terms of loading times and the speed, how everything is just happening inside the games. If this can continue as we move through this generation, then I will be happy. Like,
well, it sounds like that's what it's designed for.
What
I'm looking forward to is seeing how they can manipulate the GPUs in these new machines, you know, as they have built-in hardware ray tracing, maybe not as beefy as the brand new NVIDIA 3080 cards, but we also don't have to deal with the overhead of a full operating system either. So I think the smarter, craftier developers are going to be able to pull some horsepower out of both of these consoles that are probably going to be really impressive. So I really hope to see some games that really take advantage. We really got nothing. I mean, Black Ops Cold War supports ray tracing, but it's very limited and it's causing some issues. Like I said, I turned it off because I'm pretty sure that's what's causing some of the crashing. It's also making some weird shadows on certain maps that it like triggers like something to do with the HDR and it freaks out. But in the campaign it was fine, but it just seems like the PvP where it's having the issues. But I think in the future, I know that Watchdog Legions has some cool ray tracing effects supported. Spider-Man has some cool ray tracing effects. They went over that, and I think in the future we'll see more games that'll be able to pull some rabbits out of their hats. I'm hoping the new Battlefield will have it at Battlefield 5 on the PC, supported ray tracing, but I don't... I saw a rumor they're patching Battlefield 5 again for console. Maybe they're going to throw in a little ray tracing bone to us, but who
just
knows?
Let the dog die. I mean, come on. Like, you've already put it out there. I mean, just let it be done. Like, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Here's my question for you, Crunch and Ubo. What is the one thing that has made this new generation worth it for you right now?
I mean, for me, I think it's what you said. I mean, look, as an adult, my time is pretty, you know, I'm a husband and a father, so my time is pretty limited here. So, you know, those quick loading times are, they mm-hmm. are cool as hell to be able to, and like Xbox has quick resume. I can jump in and out of games that support that in seconds.
See, I have not had very much luck with the quick resume, but I, other than Ori, is about the only game that I've had super good success.
Yeah, it's like
with.
50-50 for me,
yeah,
too.
But... Yeah, that's true. I mean, the loading times are there. I think I have one game that's quick resume, maybe not. I find it, like Gears Tactics does not utilize that quick resume, which I found weird.
But that's not optimized yet for the console, is it?
I think it is.
Okay.
I think it did say something that it was optimized, but it does just for some reason doesn't have that quick resume.
All right.
But yeah, loading times for sure. That is for right now. That is good. I would say a little bit of a second place for me too right now. That audio. I mean, for this next gen, don't sleep on a new headset. Pick up a nice little headset. I think a lot of people will be surprised at some of the audio that's coming out of these games. It's crazy.
Ubo, what's the feature or thing that's just making this next gen for you?
I just got to echo what Crunch was saying there. This just the whole package of the improved audio, the improved loading times, just the ability for the systems to get you immersed in the environment and keep you immersed in that environment. Like, there's nothing that kills immersion as much as a loading
screen.
Giant
loading screen with a bar.
Yeah, like, to die in game and respawn within 3 seconds, you know, there's goods and bads. There's pros and cons to that. I mean, if you're really heated, you could probably use a 20-second timeout.
True.
You know, if you're doing a platformer and you're stuck, to have a 30-second load screen to get back to where you were just so you can do it all over again in Demon's Souls, for example, I mean, I could see that being absolutely infuriating. But yeah, the whole immersion part of it, like playing Miles Morales, being able to have the audio just blaring and to get the feedback through the controller. I mean, the controller actually gives you that tactile sensation. Early on in the game, he's getting text messages from a buddy of his in game, and you feel the controller rumble as if your phone is rumbling, as if his phone is rumbling in your hand, like that kind of immersion into the game. I think is the most impressive thing about the systems at the moment.
Awesome. Hop, I will let you give the final thoughts on your Series X before we start taking off.
That, like I said, I'm looking forward to see where they're going to go with these new effects. I love the super fast loads, the much better audio. The video output is so clean now. If you have a nice display, you're really seeing clarity that you never saw. I mean, I went from the 1X one day to the Series X the next day, same TV, even older games without a patch looked twice as good, twice as clean, ran nicer. It's just a happy update for gamers. And with that, let's wrap it up, gentlemen.
Well, sir, I was just going to say, it almost feels like these should have been the systems that were in place for the old-gen games. Like, the old-gen games had so much potential, but was killed by graphical limitations. I mean, the PS4 and the Xbox were, you know, kind of limited
Oh, dude, the Xbox One, the launch Xbox One, was kind of a turd.
Yeah. I'm actually...
That's a whole topic for a whole nother episode.
Yeah. I'm actually really interested to see what Naughty Dog will do with this PS5.
Yeah, those guys are serious techs. They're going to probably do some killer stuff. Yeah.
They get every single ounce
squeeze
of power
of that, yeah.
out of the PS4 to the PS3 with The Last of Us, with Uncharted. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would love to see
what
they're
cooking. That's what I mean. Those key developers are really going to make these machines look good.
Well, I will say, as my final thought on the consoles, both PS5 and Xbox, I would just love to see the end of the fanboy tribalism that we have. I'm a Xbox gamer primarily through and through, and I will support Xbox as my primary gaming console, but I'm happy to hear that PlayStation came out and seems to knock it out of the park with another console, and they're going to do well, because I think competition from them helps Microsoft continue to innovate and do things, and vice versa. So, but I'm just tired of the, oh, my console's better than yours, or my brand is better than yours. So please, let's end that debate, and let's just enjoy what has been given to us and have fun with it, and let it just be what it is supposed to be, and a happy place for us all to go to. Don't be a dick and try to make somebody else feel bad because they play somewhere else or do something else. That's just where I'm going to end that at. I'm Fenrir765. You can find me at theadultgamer.com through our Discord. Please join us for any fun. Whether you got a new console or not, come have fun with us. We play games. We like to talk about games, and we like to talk about other things too, pop culture and other related things. So come join us in our Discord server. Ubo, go ahead and give us a shout out or a plug or whatever you got for us.
I'm Ubo on Xbox, PlayStation, Steam, Twitter, wherever. Sometimes I'm Tony. It depends on my mood and what I'm on. I can't recall. It just flips. Xbox, on PlayStation, I really like how the split in generations is not splitting the fan base, because I can play with someone on a Series X, or I can play with someone on a PS4. An unsung hero there is that cross-gen.
Yes.
Functionality. So you can find me on Discord, Twitter, wherever, under whatever personality I'm currently touting for that day.
All right, Captain Crunch.
All right, well, Captain Crunch on Xbox. I look forward to... playing this next gen with some tag members, for sure. It's been a fun experience, and I gotta tell you, Ubo's confusing me a little bit, so I don't know if tag is filled with hundreds of people or just three people with multiple identities. So, is he Tony or Ubo?
Don't worry about it. Don't think about it, okay? Just all relax. Right, well, just relax and let it happen. Don't make it weird.
I'm here for the ride, then.
All right, Hop, any last words you got?
Hoptimus, you can find me at theadultgamer.com. If you're interested in some other cool sci-fi stuff, check me out at the Retro Futurist Culture podcast. And let's roll on out of here, guys. Let's get to some gaming.
All right, guys, enjoy the new generation. I will see you on the flippity flip.
Cheers.
See ya.